much for joining us on the CCA California podcast. Good to be with you another week. I'm in solo today, but I've got two very, very great guests. Before we get started, make sure to go follow us on Instagram at CCA California. Make sure to go like and subscribe on the podcast so we can continue to keep producing great content. And we're going to get to it now. We've got Chris and Rick from Gamakatsu today. Guys, welcome to the podcast. How are you guys?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about important stuff. When was the last time you guys went fishing?
Rick? Well, I've been working so hard lately that I haven't been able to go get out for a little while.
I was just out last month. I fished with Ben Florentino.
Catalina
for a day. It was real nice.
One of my favorite human beings.
He's so much fun to fish with. I really like fishing with Ben.
How'd you guys do?
We had probably a 50, 60 fish day. Nothing real notable, but all fish that were most fish were legal. Mm-hmm. It was a good day. It was a real good day.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Did you guys make it out to the islands?
We got to Catalina. We didn't fish any further than that. Stayed on the inside of Catalina, on the lee side. Mm-hmm. But it was the hardest part of that day was the sea lions.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They were relentless.
That's a common deal.
Yeah.
It's a common deal.
Yeah. Everybody that was there was complaining and on the radio about it, for sure.
How about you, Rick? When was the last time?
Well, the last time I went camping about a month ago with the family.
Nice.
Took my granddaughter before she went back up to Chico State, and we just did a little trout trolling down at Cuyamaca.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, it was a good day. We had, seven caught and released trout. And
not bad.
We hooked a few more, but we didn't catch those.
Oh, man. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, that's more than what I've done, too. I mean, I've been on the beach for a couple months now. Having a kid and all that stuff, that tends to do that to you.
Sure.
Yep. But, Rick, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got to Gamakatsu.
Well, I've been in the business since, a long time, a little over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was the pin rep for much of my career. I've started my own deal after that program. It was called Rick Carr and Associates, and I was running around selling Calstar rods, and I was the Accurate rep, and then I was the Tiburon rep. And anyway, then I went to work for the LH French Company, and the LH French Company had Gamakatsu, and that's kind of how the whole thing started.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Chris?
Me, I'm just a normal guy. It started kind of fishing as a kid here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Lived in San Diego all my life. At a young age, I had a real passion for it. And mm-hmm. luckily for me, I was lucky enough to have a mom who saw that. And, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom early on. So she would say, hey, it's a nice summer day or a nice spring day. Let's go fishing. She'd take me to the lake, and she didn't know nothing about it. So, I kind of had to learn on my own. But I learned as I went, and, I started probably – I was probably 7 years old, 8 years old, something mm-hmm. like that, and just started freshwater fishing. From there, it grew into just a big passion. I was crazy about bass fishing for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of crossed over into saltwater. And once I got a taste of saltwater fishing and catching bigger fish on a regular basis, I was like, I'm hooked. I'm done. And now I do it as much as I can.
Isn't that a great story?
Just it is.
I mean, most people, you hear, okay, my dad taught me, or my grandfather, took me and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But your mom, that's so awesome.
I find that a lot of guys that are in the business had, at some point, they had a mom or a female figure mm-hmm. that took them. And I think part of that reason is because most of the time the kids get left with mom or somebody to take care of them, and it's usually female. So they, hey, what can we do to entertain these guys? Well, let's take them fishing. It's just an easy transition, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool story, I think.
Very cool. Well, you guys are no strangers to the industry. I know we see each other every year, certainly at the shows back in, or I feel like it was like 2 years ago, but it was actually just 6 months ago. We were all at PCS and Bart Hall and all that. Great opportunity to go see anglers, go talk to them and all that, and especially with Gamakatsu. I'm sure you guys get plenty of just random questions.
Oh, we get a lot of questions. I think the nice thing is, the one thing that's really good is it's not a question about, hey, when are you going to get this or when are you going to get that? Because one of the good things about Gamakatsu is their fill rate for dealers is phenomenal in the 90% range, 90, 95, 96%. We're not out of hooks very often.
Yeah.
And that's because the president of the company, the U.S. president, does a great job of ordering and getting the product in. So,
did that suffer at all during the whole, you know,
a little bit. I think every time we introduce a new product, that's one of the problems, because they're going to be a little bit more conservative on ordering because they don't know how it's going to take off. But when we just introduced the smaller ringed circle hooks down to a size four, we sold so many so fast that we did have a little shortage on those, but it's they're getting back into stock now. So
very cool. Well, let's get into hooks. I know, you know, I certainly have a lot of questions, but first things first, I know there's a huge debate out there, ringed versus non-ringed, circle versus J-hook, all that. What I'll just go right out and say, what's your case for either or both?
Well, I think if you're tuna fishing, the circle hook is the hook of choice. And if you look at most of the long range boats, they're pushing circle hooks, and it's been that way for a long, long time. Now, as far as ringed, there's a couple of reasons to have a ringed hook. First of all, it lets your bait swim more free. But also, when you're on the fish, especially with a circle hook being right in the corner of the mouth, the leverage is really more on the fisherman's side, because the ring is moving in the hook and it's not tied direct to the hook. So you're pulling on that ring, which is moving back and forth in the eye of the hook, and it's not going to wear the hole that a standard hook would, or even a circle hook that's tied direct.
Non-ringed.
Yeah, that makes sense. Chris, what's your experience with ringed versus non-ringed? When did you make the transition?
My experience with ringed versus non-ringed is I've definitely fished more J-hooks than I have I've definitely fished more non-ringed hooks than I have ringed hooks. However, years ago, I started fishing down the East Cape, and I started taking ringed hooks then, when they were kind of just becoming a thing. A couple packages were given to me, and they said, hey, take these, try these. You know, and I'm like, what is this? I like them a whole lot better, mainly for the simple reason that Rick just stated. We find that we were getting less wear in the mouth of the fish when we were on a bigger fish. Say you get a 60-pounder or a 100-pounder. I had one year we were down there, I had a 130-pounder. It was 135. We got lucky. We stuck it right in the corner of the mouth, and there was absolutely no hole except for the hook itself. And we were on it. I was on it for a good probably 30 minutes or so, and it didn't wear anything bigger than just the hole the hook made in the fish's mouth. And that kind of, at that point, I kind of was like, okay, now I get why I should be fishing these for that kind of thing. I like a ringed hook when I'm live bait fishing, for sure.
That's a really good point where, you know, as long as, because if you're pulling on a fish for either half hour or hours at a time, I mean, that's a lot of time just for basically the hook to basically just make that hole. Sure. And to prevent that, ringed hooks.
They really do work well.
And there's also, like, you know, certain situations, right, when especially when out fishing, you know obviously would be better off doing a circle hook with bluefin as opposed to maybe, you know, patty yellowtail or something, to where all you're doing is basically casting, getting hooked up, bringing it in, and repeating the process.
Well, you know, if you go circle hook, I like to yellowtail fish a lot. That's kind of the fish that I really enjoy fishing in salt water, besides calico bass. But I always use circle hooks for yellowtail. I mean, and especially if I'm live bait fishing, because the fact that they are picking the bait up and they're moving away and they're swallowing it slowly. And, you know, it's some guys, if they're new, they don't know. I took a couple people on a trip one time. They were kind of novice, and they kept pulling the bait out, and there's little teeth marks. And I said, okay, you got to wait longer. Why don't you count, you know, just 1,000, 2,000, 1,000, 1,000, up to about 1,006. Then with a circle hook, just put it in gear, point the rod, and the fish is going to hook itself. And after about three or four times of them pulling on, you know, trying to set the hook, they did it the right way, and they were going, hey, this really does work. Really does work. And for yellowtail, it's phenomenal. It really is.
Nice.
That brings up the point that we were talking about before we got on air. I was fishing with Ben last month, calico bass fishing at Catalina, and he and I were fishing Gamakatsu circle hooks. Every time I got bit, I was like, oh, I'm bit. It was a lever drag. We were fishing the smaller, like, Talica 10s and stuff. I'd throw it in. I'd slide the lever forward, and I'd swing. And he goes, will you quit swinging? Because I go, oh, I missed it. He goes, will you quit swinging? And I go, I'm not swinging. He goes, you're swinging on the fish. I go, no, I'm not. He goes, watch yourself. You are. It took me a good – well, it took me – even throughout the whole day, I still found myself doing it and missing fish. Mm-hmm. But – eventually, after the missing the second, third, fourth fish, I was like, okay. And I was making an honest effort to try to just slide that lever forward, let it come tight, and then wind. And yeah. I was on every time. And he goes, see? And it was me. It wasn't him. It was me. He's going, see? Can't you get it? Look how well it's working. And it took time.
It's like breaking a bad habit.
It is. It's a bad habit because, like I said, as a kid growing up, you know, I was fishing J-hooks all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, but the circle hooks definitely – do I think have a place, a use, and they also I think increase your hookup ratio when done right.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that because I wouldn't want to tell Ben how to fish. But personally, when I'm fishing calico bass, I really like a J hook. I like to be able to wind down and wind and then set the hook because I just like the feel of when you're bit.
I'm a calico bass fan. I really really like fishing calico bass. I'll have to say. Fishing with Ben was one of the few times that I've ever fished circle hooks to catch calicos. Mm-hmm. It was effective and it worked, but I think that's part of the problem is I'm used to that wind down, swing on them, yeah. Set the hook and, you know, get them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely fun. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. You know, with I never really think to fish with circle hooks for bass. It's always been J hooks, or jigs or whatnot. But when it comes to bass fishing, like yourself, I'm a huge fan and everything. Rick, when it comes to the circle hooks, because they're not necessarily they're not brand new,
no.
But they've been around for a while. When was about like what time period was really when they were introduced to the market and really when they started taking off in popularity?
Wow, that's pretty hard to say. I mean, back when I worked for a different company, it was Eagle Claw that I was working for at the time, and they were just now getting going. And they weren't ringed at the time, and people were. It was hard to get some skippers to go that direction. It really was. But you're probably looking at '80s, early '80s, that kind of thing. It started, and then it really got going in the '90s, really, really strong. And now it's the hook of choice.
Was there any like I don't want to say skepticism, but hesitancy amongst the whole fleet and anglers and all that for circle hooks back then?
Back then there was, but yeah. not now. I mean, no. Now it's pretty much the standard for tuna. Yeah. I mean, if you're live bait fishing,
right.
I mean, there's so many different ways now, especially with bluefin, that these guys are catching things with, heavy jigs going to the bottom and drifting and all kinds of weird stuff. So, I mean, it works. And whatever gets bit, that's the key. But what I think about live bait fishing for tuna, for yellowtail, circle hooks, the way to go. And I think it's pretty much a standard. Now it's just, okay, what size circle hook? Do I want ring? Do I want non-ring? Is the bait small? So you got to have everything in your arsenal.
Right.
It's pretty much the standard, I would think, right now.
So let me throw this one at you. So just a standard summer day out in Southern California on a sport boat, full day, overnight trip, which one. What are you packing in your arsenal? What kind of or what size hooks for, you know, the yellowtail at Clemente versus bass at Clemente or just bass or rockfish in general? Kind of lay down your arsenal right there, what you're packing.
Well, I'm going to have probably, I mean, 2-0 is going to be my hook.
That's just the standard go-to.
Yeah. And it whether it's live bait or circle hook. But I'll have small hooks. You never know. You might run into some small bluefin. And I mean, that's the way it used to be. And they were really always line shy. So you want to use the smallest hook you could. I think people were a little afraid at first when we introduced these small circle hooks for tuna. They were thinking, it's too small. It's not going to work. But it does work. I mean, right now it's only in our standard Nautilus size, the smaller wire, but it will be probably in the next year in the HD, which is a 30% thicker wire, also in those small sizes, in both ringed and non-ringed. But I'll say 2.0 being my best, I'm going to probably go up to a 3.0 and then have down to a 1 or something like that. So,
and it's obviously all dependent on the live bait, what size and everything like that too.
Exactly, exactly.
I'd have to say I'm about the same as you. I always err and go a little bit larger too. I'll have probably up to like a 3.0 or maybe a 4.0 in case I find a big bait that I want to throw out. And then on the downside, or on the small side, I'd probably go down about a 1. Yeah. Same idea. You know, I like to have way more than I need.
We all do.
I was going to say, I think a lot of guys do that. You know, although I know I'm only going to use probably these couple few sizes right in the middle of all that, I bring everything on either side of those sizes to make sure I cover my bases on everything.
Right, right.
If I'm fishing alone, usually I'm going to have just that selection. But if I'm on a boat and I'm trying to promote Gamakatsu, I'm probably going to have a lot more hooks.
Of course.
Because I end up giving them away, and guys are going, oh, I've never tried a circle hook. I've never seen one that small, that kind of thing. So I said, here, we'll just take a few. It's not a problem.
You had mentioned you have a number 4 size circle hook.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Itty bitty. Well, it's funny. You gotta think people like Doug Kern and some other people, Johnny and a few other guys from the landings that pushed for smaller size hooks, you know. And I remember having dinner with Doug, or it could have been lunch, don't know, but I had the Gamakatsu National Sales Manager, and we were talking specifically about small hooks. And he said he would say, they come into my store and they say, what's the smallest circle hook you have? And he'd show them this, and they go, do you have anything smaller? And that's kind of how the whole thing developed, and we got down to the size 4. So,
gotcha. When it comes to, well, you kind of just brought it up a little bit. When it comes to product development, or you know, trying to adjust for, because it seems like Bluefin have some new thing every single year, depending on what year it is. When it comes to product development and all that stuff, how long is the process between, you know, developing it and actually going to market, and also what goes into just basically getting that product to market?
Well, when it came to the smaller sizes on the circle, it was first convincing the president of Gamakatsu USA to actually go that direction. It took a few conversations. Anyway, then they get the design people going. They then they get prototypes made, and then we take those prototypes usually to specific people that I know will fish and give us a good report. And then once it's a go and we've decided, yeah, this is the correct sizes that we need, they're fishing and they're doing well, it's probably a 4-month to 6-month process to get it actually into the U.S. for distribution. It's been a little bit longer on the HD size, only because convincing them to go heavier versus lighter originally was an issue. So,
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that's a relatively short amount of time between, you know, some whatever the market demands and when it's actually in tackle stores.
I think it's when they push the button and it gets done. It really does. They won't introduce it usually, though. I mean, it may come in May or June of the year, but it's not. Nobody really knows about it unless you're out there talking about it, because we usually introduce everything new at the ICAST show in July.
Yeah.
So. Right now, we were hoping to have the HD ringed in the smaller sizes introduced at ICAST, and it wasn't. But we're looking for it. We're looking for it. So
very cool. Let's talk a little bit about replacement hooks. You know, I know when it comes to maybe not so much nowadays, but all of maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when everyone was buying all these jigs for Bluefin, whether it was the Colt Snapper, or Current Sniper, or Seikana, or whatever. Most guys were replacing their hooks just right out of the box.
Yeah.
What's, you know, what's Gamakatsu's deal with replacement hooks? What would you recommend for certain of the popular jigs now?
Well, we do an excellent job in our 4X strong treble hooks. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are using those automatically on replacements. I mean, I'm not going to say manufacturers. Sure. But there are some really key manufacturers that are actually tied into other hook companies. Mm-hmm. And there's certain landings that won't let that lure go out for tuna or for what they're using it for without mm-hmm. changing the hook. And a lot of the times it's a Gamakatsu that they're putting on there. Mm-hmm. They have a new what they call an SP-coated smaller gauge wire. Mm-hmm. And it's a strong hook that they're starting to get out there a little bit more. And then in single hooks, we make a Siwash hook. We've made a Siwash, both open eye and standard, that people have used for a long time, all the way down to trout. Mm-hmm. For salmon fishermen, they now have a single hook called a Big River, which is both open eye and non-open eye for these guys that are trolling for salmon. Mm-hmm. It's got a different bend in it. It's kind of unique, and it would probably work out here. It's just because people look at it, they see a different bend, and they don't...
Not familiar with the bending.
Not, yeah. But for salmon, works really, really well. It really does.
Very cool.
I'll tell you, I've tried the 4X Strong mm-hmm. trebles. I was doing a trip to Mexico, and I had some poppers, and I talked to Rick, and I said, you know, these hooks that are on here look pretty weak. And he goes, hold on, I got something. Gave me the 4X Strongs, and I put those on. They go on, you know, just split ring, put them on.
Right.
They work fantastic, and they hold up to a lot of abuse. I've never had any issues with any of the trebles that I've changed out on lures here and there. Mm-hmm. They're a great hook. I haven't done much with their singles.
Well, right now, everybody knows the Mad Max is a really good
right.
Hook for high-speed trolling for tuna. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what they're biting, but of course, guys are still pulling those. But now we're replacing that. We came out with what they call a tune tuna with ring, and this hook really, really works well with the Mad Max.
Is that the one that has the eye turned so that when you put it, it goes in line?
And then it's ringed.
Yeah, and it's ringed and everything.
And they're putting, it's a sweet hook. And
they're cool.
Hmm. Yeah. That's, they're replacing some of the Mad Max standard with mm-hmm. with that hook. Especially at Dana Landing, they're doing that a lot.
The only other single I've used is the Magic Eye. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Magic Eye hooks. And those are really cool because the hook at the top has a flat spot in it, so you can slide it onto a ring hook without having to remove the rings from the lure.
Mm-hmm. If you're using a split ring.
If you're using a split ring, it has a flat spot in the eye at the top, so you can wedge that under the edge of the split ring and slide them right on.
Oh my gosh, that's clutch.
It's a really nice hook, actually. I have used those.
And they make that in a treble hook, too. They make
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
They make a Magic Eye in a treble hook.
Huh.
I'm going to leave you a catalog just so yes. that you can see that.
Yes,
but
for
that's,
sure.
Because that, then you take that pointed eye of the hook and you just push it into the split ring.
Right.
And it separates. Operates and then twist it, and it comes right on. You don't have to use a split ring plier.
I was going to say, you don't even need pliers at that point.
No. They work really well, too. Yeah. They work really well.
Yeah. Interesting.
And they make it in a few different put-ups. I don't know. Unfortunately, the Siwash is not that way, but again, that you probably want to use an open-eye Siwash anyway, so you can bend it up.
Mm-hmm. Staking on replacement hooks and everything, say you've done it, you've already done it, you fished the lure a couple times and all that. At what point, in your opinion, do we need to start replacing those hooks?
Well,
any wear and tear that you need to look out for?
Well, you know, the coating that we put on our hooks is so good at that black nickel coating that mm-hmm. They really last a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly our live bait stuff, and then we do that in some of our in a lot of our treble hooks too. Mm-hmm. But it's if it gets damaged, if the point you can't sharpen the point, that's when you want to do it. I mean, when you're fishing live bait, you know, mm-hmm. most of the time if you land a fish, they're not going to unpin; they're just going to cut it off, and it's time that you're going to have to replace the hook.
Yeah.
You know,
just replace the hook then.
But with a circle hook, especially 1, 2, 10, 12 fish, if you are personally taking it out of the fish, it can just retie, and you're going to be fine. You know,
yeah.
they I would just look at, you know, you don't want them to rust, and you don't want the point to, I mean, if it's sticky in your nail, if you can touch point in your nail and you feel the stick, then mm-hmm. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
How do we prevent rust?
Well, I tell you, there's a. I also represent Flambeau, and mm-hmm. Flambeau has a utility box with a. It's a blue insert that all of the dividers are these blue inserts, and that blue insert is a Z Rust product, and it actually prevents rust
that,
on your.
On that Z Rust works well.
Yeah.
Works real well. You turned me on to it. I take stuff to Mexico every year, and we go fishing. And usually by the time I come back, I get rust starting, you know, because mm-hmm. I'll take like a giant hook box full of hooks.
Sure.
Using that Z-Rust with the hooks, I've come back, gosh, it's been a couple of years now, and I never, ever have any rust. It used to be in the old days, I'd come back and I would take all the hooks in the box and rinse the whole box out with fresh mm-hmm. water trying to prevent rust. Anymore, I come back and I pop the box open, I look, and I go, everything looks good. Shut the box, wait till the next trip. Never have any rust. Hmm. It works really well. That Z-Rust is really cool stuff.
Now, some of the boxes come with the dividers built of Z-Rust, and others you can just buy the Z-Rust tabs mm-hmm. and then put them in.
That's what I, yeah, that's if, what I've used.
Say, for example, they're using a Plano box and not a, or they're using a G-Box from Gamakatsu mm-hmm. and not a Flambeau that they bought that way. They could actually put that buy that Z-Rust in a little package and then put it in that utility box. And that, it works really well.
That brings up another point. I really like the G-Boxes from Gamakatsu.
I was just about to ask.
I'm nuts about them. I've talked to some guys who say they don't like the clothes on them, the clasp on them. They say over time, over a lot of time, it wears out. I've yet to have that problem, but I mm-hmm. love the boxes. They close well. I've been slowly converting all my boxes over to G boxes because the lid closes so well that I use them as a hook box. You can take the hook box, turn it upside down, shake it, and it can be full of hooks. None of your hooks migrate to other spots. They all stay right where you put them, and that's my favorite selling point about them
mm-hmm.
because traveling with a hook box like I do when we go to Mexico and stuff. Yeah, always used to be you got there and you had to sit there and sort all your hooks back out. Yeah. This you just throw it in your bag, you don't worry about it, and you get on the boat and you open it up and it's just like it was when you left the house or when you left the lodge or wherever you're fishing. It's mm-hmm. it's fantastic. I really, really like their boxes. Yeah. I think they hold up well.
A lot of that has to do with the clasp because it's long and mm-hmm. and it's not just a two prong deal on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the dividers, the dividers fit so well in the bottom,
really tight,
and they fit so well at the top when it's closed that there's just no traveling of the hooks. Even mm-hmm. the small sizes, I've done it with ones and 1/0s and 4/0s and they don't travel. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and like you guys have alluded to, Gamakatsu has a stellar lineup of boxes, G-boxes and all that.
Yeah.
What are the most common ones that you see here in Southern California?
Well, it's 3600, 3700, and the 3200. Our best hook box is the 3200, that's mm-hmm. standard, because it's smaller.
Right.
But 36 is a very popular size, 37. And then they make the 37 in three depths, all right? Well, actually, two depths, but one with no dividers at all in the deep one. And then a deep box and then a standard 3700. The 36 is actually made in a standard divider box, but also a foam insert box. And I don't know if you've seen those, but it's a wonderful way to store your treble hooks or, mm-hmm. you know, your replacement trebles or big flies. The hook fits right down into back. The foam. But if you'll notice, when we get off this podcast, I'll show you a picture of a guy that all he does is put his assist hooks because that's all he does is bluefin type, tuna type fishing with, you know, heavy knife jigs and mm-hmm. things like that. And he's storing those hooks in that box. It's phenomenal.
It was impressive to see when the guy brought it to us and showed us. He goes, see, this is what I do with my hooks. And he opens this box up, and it's all these hooks lined up in nice, neat rows and all perfect. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
My favorite of all of them is the 3200.
Yeah, 3200 is a great size.
The other one I really like is that 3700, the deep with no dividers.
Yeah.
When we travel, I'll use that, and I'll put big jigs in it. I put Marlin jigs in it. I'll put Marauder style jigs, you know, Rapalas, that kind of stuff. You can lay them all in there. And yeah, they get a little tangled up and stuff, but you can have, like, with the Marlin jigs, I can have them rigged and I can lay them in there with all the rigging and everything done. And I don't have to worry about trying to get the lid closed and, you know, all that whole mess. So for me, I use it. I use that 3700 a lot also.
I think that the 3200, there's a new 3200 two-sided, one side's foam and the other side is dividers.
Oh, cool.
So if the guy wanted to use it for small hooks or maybe even flies, it could really work out well for that.
I was just about to go into the foam. It seemed like on this, like you said, that the dual case and all that, I really like that foam and the flexibility to where you're not beating your jigs up.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. It's really nice. It's a real dense foam, and it holds hooks real well.
Yeah.
It holds real well.
How are they – how when it comes to the hooks and the foam and all that stuff, does it stick at all or whatnot?
No.
There's slits in it, and you slide the hook right in. It slides in and right out. You don't have you don't have to stick the hook into the foam. It just slides right into a little slot.
You're right leaving the point up is what you're doing. So you're taking the round bend of the hook
and sticking it right into the foam.
I mean, these jig boxes are with the rod stands and all that.
Yeah.
Those are some serious.
Right. And there's we're doing a new hard box this year. It didn't make the catalog, but it'll be in the 2024 catalog. So it goes along with that 7,000 jig box, but it's a little bit smaller, more for the one day, half day guy. With a hard box. Mm-hmm. So.
That 7,000 jig box, the cool thing that I like about that is one of the selling points that Rick showed me and sold me on it was it's accessible from either side. So you can open it from the front side or the back side, or you can take the whole lid completely off. The other thing I like about it is it's a hard box. So like in my case, I'm not a small guy. I can stand on that box.
Really?
It works. So you can use it if you're on like a bay boat or a flats boat or something like that, you can use it to stand on as like a casting platform, you know, set it on the deck, stand on top of it, get a little higher, get a little bit longer cast. It's really a nice box.
It comes with a sliding tray at the top. Mm-hmm. But the other parts of it are all accessories. So if you want the rod holder, it's an accessory. If you want the jig compartment, it's accessories. Or if you want the strap. But if you want a shoulder strap on that, it's a little big for a shoulder strap, but the handle's really beefy, so you could carry it real well.
It's almost like you have the flexibility to basically customize your own box with how you fish and all that.
Exactly. Because it doesn't come with any utility boxes. It's that's kind of you build your own after you get done. So
very cool. Yeah. Very cool. When it comes to the boxes and the tackle storage and all that, what do you guys prefer as far as like labeling and all that? Do you usually just use label makers on certain slots or whatnot?
I don't.
Or can you tell?
I used to.
Yeah.
but I don't anymore. I prefer actually because I know my hook box is a 3200. Right. It's probably the only 3200 box that I have in there, and that's what I'm usually getting anyway. Mm-hmm. Is that. If I've got pliers or that any kind of tools, it's usually in a 37 and deep without dividers, and it's just laying in there. I'm not worried about dividers for that kind of thing. Jigs, 3700 standard. It's because I do a lot of surface iron type fishing when I yellowtail fish, so it's usually going to be kicker jigs, tatties, that type of surface type iron stuff. So. And that'll fit well in a 3700 size box. So
When I first started using the 3200 as a hook box, I used to put a label maker and label the top of all the different spots on the lid, you know, so I could see what was what.
Yeah.
After using it and repeatedly rubbing them off or scraping them off, I started sticking them on the inside. Like I put them, you know, you'll have one little cell for two O's. I'll put a 2-0 sticker in the bottom.
Right.
And if that wears out, well, then I just go, I just gave up. But the sticker in the bottom seemed to work a lot better because your hooks are on top of it and you can't really see it. But as you're digging one out, you're going, hey, that's a 2-0. And you can kind of move them around and see what the number is underneath. Another simple, easy way to do is just take a felt pen and write on them.
Yeah.
Right on top or right in the bottom or whatever.
Classic. Just make sure it's a black felt pen and not a blue one.
Well, that or yellow.
You would make that mistake, right, Chris?
Never. No, not me.
Over the last couple of years, I've really kind of deferred to basically taking on, especially on the sport boat, I usually am used to taking on one tray of jigs, and that's pretty much it. Maybe a pack of hooks, and if I really need some for live bait. In that case, for like a 3200 box or just a standard jig box and all that, realistically, like how many jigs, if you have everything from the smaller Colt Snipers all the way to the Tatty 4.0s to everything in between, you know, how many jigs realistically can you get?
Well, I don't do a lot of that type mm-hmm. of fishing, but I know a lot of people do, and I've turned them on to our reversible 3600 or 3700 size box, mm-hmm. actually 32 or 3600 size for the Colt Sniper, for that type of bait, because it's got it's actually a grooved two-sided box, so you can put that bait, lay it in there with the hooks on it. Mm-hmm. And it's got drain holes so you can wash it off, and those are working really well. We developed that specifically for that type of fishing, for that slow pitch type jig.
Slow pitch jigs.
We don't make one for the big knife jigs. I mean, I don't know anybody that really does. Mm-hmm. The Flambeau makes a really long box, but you take a 500 gram cutlass fish made that Gamakatsu distributes for
Sea Falcon
out here, and it's mm-hmm. it's not going to fit in a utility box. It didn't. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, how many knife jigs are you bringing on one trip?
Yeah,
or you know, that weigh 400, 500, 600 grams.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, exactly. It really depends. I mean, for me, probably one or two, but I've seen guys, they have a ton of
no
of
kidding.
Those things. Yeah, yeah, huh. They do.
Yeah. I've seen guys who have an actual like separate bag for all of them, you know, and they'll come up carrying this big bag.
Oh yeah,
I'm thinking a jig bag would work much better for those on mm-hmm. a yeah. roller. And mm-hmm. I know that Sea Falcon is actually
developing
that.
One.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, any jig bags?
They have one right now. But it's normally for the smaller sizes.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have one. It's a promotional item, but it is in the Sea Falcon catalog. So,
well, speaking of Sea Falcon, let's kind of dive into that one. I know I love popper fishing quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Sea Falcon is the best almost.
They build some beautiful, beautiful looking poppers.
Yeah.
I haven't had the opportunity to fish with any of them, but the ones I've looked at, I go, man, that's got to get bit. It's so good looking.
Well, they do
get bit. And they got a good weight.
Mm-hmm.
They do get bit. They make a balsa bait, a mm-hmm. bunch of different balsa topwater type baits. Poppers in two sizes, two different configurations. Actually, not two sizes, same size, but the indentation on the front is in two different ones. So one spits a lot of water and one's a little bit more for the quick pop, pop, pop.
Right.
And that bait really, really, really works. But then they do some longer, what they call falcons and some other things that are long topwater build baits that that guys are fishing specifically for tuna.
Mm-hmm.
And the process is, it's a balsa bait, it's a through wire bait, and the paint process on that is a 15-stage paint process.
I was just about to say, go into the luxury of fishing a Sea Falcon popper.
They hand paint them too, don't they?
Oh yeah, it's.
So that means no two baits are exactly alike then.
Well,
they're close, but they're not going to be exact.
Right, but the
which is, I think, is cool
as far as the color, but
yeah, mm-hmm.
but if. I would tell you, if you look at these baits, you're not going to be able to tell the difference between one and the other.
They're like art, man. I look at them and I just go, God, those are gorgeous baits.
And then the metal baits, the same deal, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very tedious process that they go through to make the finish on the thing as clean as you're going to ever find.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the Sea Falcon stuff, when you're getting into the jigs, they don't come with hooks. So that's the nice thing about Gamakatsu. We make a lot of assist hooks to be able to pair up with the type of fishing and the size of the bait and the size of the fish you're after.
Mm-hmm.
Most popular for the big baits is going to be our HD 720 and our HD 620. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those are really, really popular for the big tuna and that type of thing. But we make some small shorty doubles. We make a ton of different assist hooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For a while, it was pretty much our old 510 assist, which was the barb was on the outside of the hook. And the whole idea behind that was when you're dropping a bait and this thing is fluttering down, mm-hmm. that it doesn't catch the line and hook on the line. Mm-hmm. So the barb being on the opposite side prevented that from happening. So it would actually swim better and fall better.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I know, you know, since we're talking about assist hooks, me personally, I think, Chris, you've helped me out a couple times here at a show or two. I typically do two assist hooks on the top with one J hook on the bottom, usually like a 9-0 more or less.
Yeah.
What do you guys typically recommend, or what are you typically fishing for the big bluefin?
Well, again.
Yeah.
I just know what guys are doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Some guys are rigging double assist on both. Mm-hmm. Some guys are using one single hook like you do and then two on the top. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most popular way.
That's the way I fish them. It's two on top, one on the bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, I mean, could a guy take a Salus 6S Junior and yo-yo for yellowtail and put an assist hook on the top? Sure, he could.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure, he could. It doesn't happen? No. But it really does with this slow pitch stuff. I mean, guys, that's the type that they're doing, all assist type hooks.
And I know that there's guys out there that are loyal to fishing this boat or that boat or whatever. And I know a lot of the sport boat guys have certain ways they like the lures to be rigged. I know that there's some guys that fish, you know, I don't know names of boats, but there's some guys that'll fish a certain boat and they'll be like, hey, this boat doesn't want us, you know, putting two on top and one on the bottom. They want two on the bottom and a single on top or nothing on top or some variant thereof, you know. If I'm just doing it for myself and setting up the way I like it, it's going to be two on the top and one on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I've seen assist hooks on the bottom and the top. I've seen assist hooks only on the bottom.
Yeah, or only on the top.
Or only on the top. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then sometimes they'll do a treble on the bottom, depending. But most of the time, you'll see mostly that's going to be a single hook on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, going back to Sea Falcon and the poppers and all that, I don't own one personally. But if I were to, I would feel totally guilty fishing one. Just because the artwork alone.
Yeah, but if they catch fish, that's the
important. The thing. It's like, oh man, I really want to fish this, but
I don't want to lose it because it's too pretty. They're pretty lures.
It's not the least expensive lure on the market, so that's another thing that guys. But I don't know. You spend how much money on the trip? You spend how much money on your reel? How much money on the line and the rod?
Yeah, you want to put the best product out there.
You want to put the best product to give you the best chance of catching that mm-hmm. fish that of a lifetime. And so, that's the argument for Sea Falcon. That's mm-hmm. also the argument for Gamakatsu, as far as I'm concerned. Because I know a lot of people that say, "Well, it's kind of expensive," but again, you know, I mean, what is the fish going to take first?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really matter if you have that wonderful, accurate two-speed and the CalStar rod and all the best line in fluorocarbon. If you don't have the right hook, it ain't going to help.
It starts with the hook.
Yeah, yeah. So
I have to agree. You know, for me, when starting, like I said, young as a kid fishing, before I even knew who Gamakatsu was or before I knew Rick or anything, I was a kid, I would save my money to buy the Gamakatsu bass hooks. Because I was worm fishing a lot, and we would Texas rig them. I would save up to get the Gamakatsus because they were just so much sharper, so much better than everything else, that I would save my money as a kid to get the good hook opposed to the cheap hook just because they worked. Mm-hmm. They worked and they stuck. When you got bit, you stuck. You stuck a fish. You didn't go, oh, I missed that one. You always stuck a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, always. And I have a couple packs that I found. I found an old tackle box from when I was younger. One of the old Plano Magnums, the double-sided mm-hmm. amber one. And I had a couple packs of hooks in there, the old blue Gamakatsus.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were old blue Gamakatsu worm hooks that, you know, I used to always fish. And I just started laughing when I found them because they're so old. You know, they're from mid-80s.
Yeah. Now it's pretty much for the bass market, it's either black nickel, especially in EWG, or the red.
The red.
Mm-hmm. The red's really popular.
Really?
But, yeah. Well, not as much as the black nickel.
I never think to fish a colored hook. I don't know why.
It's And then when they were making red trebles, a lot of guys were replacing some of their jigs with red trebles, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. especially in the front around the gill plate. So I don't really know if fish really see color, but
I was going to say, is that a thing? Colored hooks?
It is. Yeah,
they have them in the catalog.
For walleye, it's huge. And Gamakatsu, really? If you look at Gamakatsu's selection of octopus hooks, which is their number one selling hook.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong. A bunch of colors.
Yeah. Glow in the dark.
The glow ones are cool looking. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I do with them, but they're cool.
Yeah. They just introduced a bunch of new colors in now in the split shot drop shot also.
Mm-hmm.
But that, see, the split shot drop shot, it's a lot of guys are using that for surf fishing too. They're not just a bass type bait. Mm-hmm. And so they just come out with the colors on that. But they've had walleye type colored hooks for a long, long, long time.
Huh. Interesting. Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much. We are going to continue this conversation over on the Doc Talk podcast. Make sure to go like and subscribe and follow us on Instagram. And we will see you guys over there. Take care.